Cat Disgusted is a show about veterinary nursing. It is not a show about how to cure your sick pet. If your animal is sick, take it to the vet. Don't be a crazy person and use a podcast to cure your puking cat, dog, chinchilla, etc., etc. I think they would tell you the same thing. If they could. Which they can't. Which makes it hard. You know what's up. Take them to the vet. Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Cat Disgusted, a podcast for veterinary technicians and the people and animals who love them. Each episode, we explore the best of times and the worst of times in veterinary nursing. I'm your host, Nicole Dickerson. I'm an RBT and veterinary technician specialist in emergency and critical care, and this is what happens. Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Cat Disgusted. We are at the 50th episode of this show. 50! I'm 50! And I know that there's a lot of other podcasts out there that have, like, you know, 200 plus, many. And warranted, that it is an accomplishment for sure. But I just feel really good to get to 50. I don't know. There's some kind of like milestone there that I appreciate. I did feel this year as we crested into 2024 that I had to kind of let some things go. I was serving on multiple boards, and I've been doing a lot of music rehearsal lately with my good friend Beryl, and we got a gig coming up in March in Point Richmond on March 20th at the Baltic Kiss Bar and Music Club. Come if you can. I feel like I'm doing a little bit of a reset in 2024. We're doing a lot of traveling this year, and I say we, like me and the wife together, which we didn't do, I mean, barely at all last year. Was very much me just going to conferences and little kind of 2 or 3 day trips by myself a whole lot, and the wife was either traveling separately somewhere else or at home, or just work schedules didn't happen. So that's different this year. 2024 is a lot of traveling with the two of us, which I'm very, very much looking forward to, and not for conferences. What? Some, but not nearly as much. So anyway, I felt like 2024 is that's a good place to put the 50th episode of this. And I really wanted to focus this milestone Cat Disgusted episode on a very, very special dog in my veterinary career and in my life. That would be the giant white bulldog named Mabel. And Mabel is special in many, 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 many ways, was special in many, many ways. Those of you who are listening from my specialty hospital where we all knew and loved Mabel are probably just going, ooh, and like happy, sad tears right now because she was real special. And I wanted to talk about her because she suffered from a cardiomyopathy, which is very weird and fascinating and deadly. And she dealt with it for quite a while after the diagnosis. But the events leading up to her diagnosis were pretty dramatic. She died twice. First time I was there, the second I was not. But she suffered from something called arrhythmogenic right ventricular cardiomyopathy, or ARVC. And it's congenital, and it happens to be that boxers, the breed of boxers, gets this. It's very prevalent in that breed. So it's often referred to as boxer cardiomyopathy. But because it's an unusual thing, and because in my current line of work, cardiology is such a prominent subject that I'm both working with clinically and then with human medicine doctors, all those types of things, I thought it would be a good subject for us to chat about and relevant for what I'm dealing with in my current line of work. So what I want to read first is a quote from Siddhartha Mukherjee. And he is an oncologist. He wrote a very famous book called The Emperor of Maladies, which is about cancer. But he has this fantastic quote about the heart. And I wanted to read it here because I think it's a good way to start thinking about this. The heart will beat more than 2 billion times over a person's life, a model of cellular cooperation, citizenship, and belonging. That's so perfect. It's so perfect. And it's perfect because of what can happen in opposition to those three things: cooperation, citizenship, and belonging. If those things go off the rails, things can get very bad very quickly. I think in all contexts, those three things, when they go off the rails, can get very bad very quickly. But I love that he puts it in terms of cardiology and cellular cooperation, citizenship, and belonging. So I want to tell you the story of my first experience with a cardiac arrest related to this unusual condition of ARVC with Mabel the Bulldog. So I used to work emergency with the doctor who owned the bowling ball of Mabel the Bulldog. Mabel had a lot of work done as a veterinarian's bulldog would. She had had her eyelids surgically corrected for something called entropion, which means that her eyelashes were kind of turned in and scratching her eyeballs when she blinked. So she had surgery for that. She had an airway surgery. She had regular grooming for the fungus and the folds. She was very, very much loved throughout her life. Now, she used to hang out in something that we called the doc pod. And we called it that because there was an office with windows all around it that was in the middle of the room. And that was where the vets would write their records. And it kind of made sense that they would sit there because with the windows, they could see what was happening in the treatment area. So if we needed something, like if some, you know, cat was crashing, went south, I could just flap my arms around and the doc sitting at the computer would see that I was in trouble through the window and then come running. So we called it the doc pod, and that's where employee pets would often hang out, especially the doctor's animals. They'd often hang out in there. Now, I will say Mabel's face, because of all the work she had done, she kind of always had the same expression. I used to joke with Mabel saying, you know, this is your happy face. And so it didn't really alter much depending on her mood. Her most common thing that I would encounter with Mabel is if she wanted something, she would paw you with her kind of big baseball mitt of a paw. She'd go poonk against your calf, and that meant she wanted petting. So that day, the day of the events, we were very, very busy, as it always was in emergency. And as always, something had gotten left in the fray, or there was some confusion about the orders for patients that were getting admitted into CCU. And I just need to clarify something. And I think it was a cat that was in the CCU. So I went into the doc pod and I was like, hey doc, you know what? What did you want to do about this thing? You know, some antibiotic or something? Like, you wrote it for a BID, but usually we give this SID. I just want to make sure. And doc turns around. This is Mabel's dad. Turns around and is like, let's see. I forgot to. What's wrong with Mabel? And I'm like, what? What? And he was looking down. And now I'm in a hurry, right? I'm in a hurry. I just need this answer. And then I got to admit like six cats. And I'm like, okay. I look down and I see Mabel laying what we'd say sternal recumbency, like, you know, just laying on the floor with her face, that wrinkled stern face, eyes are closed. And I'm like, she's sleeping. Wait. And we're both looking at her. And then I see this puddle seeping out from underneath her, this puddle of urine just kind of seeping from underneath her rear end. And then I noticed a little poo had rolled out and was sitting about 8 inches behind her. Uh-oh. And with me and the doc staring at her, I kind of just reached over with my foot and just kind of went, ooh, and just like pushed very lightly on her side. And she flopped over completely lifeless on her side. And that was immediate chaos erupting. So, oh, Mabel. And so I think what happened was the doc actually picked her up. He actually picked her up. She's just like, I mean, a sack of potatoes, like lifeless, and runs out of the doc pod. I run out of the doc pod. I was holding a clipboard at that point, and I don't even know where that went. I seriously think it got kicked into the radiology room. That was like across the hall. And we ran into the treatment area, plopped Mabel on the treatment table, and immediately we intubated her. It was a struggle to get a catheter in her, of course, because, you know, she's a bulldog and she's got, like, you know, a leather belt for skin and many, 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 many folds of skin. And what happened was we took a listen to her chest, and it was just like, shoot, like, barely audible shoes in a dryer. And we're like, oh my God, she's in like V-fib or incredibly bad VTAC, something's wrong with her heart. And she was not breathing. And so that after, and unconscious. And so, you know, intubating her, we had to breathe for her. And then someone very wisely, I don't even remember how this came in the chaos, had gone to get the cardiologist who was across the hospital. And so he came with his giant cardiology specialty ultrasound and all his machines and everything, and pushed this giant cart all the way into the emergency treatment area, immediately hooked up the ECG, looked at her heart with the ultrasound, and he's completely calm during all of this. Now, poor Mabel's dad, poor Doc, man, he's beside himself. You know, he loved this dog so much. I feel like in that type of situation with your own animals, everyone reacts a little bit differently. I immediately had gone into critical care ER mode. And so I was just focused on getting her catheter in. I had focused on intubating her because I'm like, oh my God. Like, I mean, her dad had opened her jaw to intubate her, and I felt like I was looking into a meat grinder. Like, it was unbelievable. So much tissue. Even though she'd had airway corrective surgery, I was just like, please, dear God, let me visualize these laryngeal cords and get this tube in. And I did. And I was so focused. I'm like, okay. So I was in that mode. But I think, you know, for him, it was difficult for him to compartmentalize at that moment. And it was so unexpected. It was so unexpected that she was sleeping on the floor of the doc pod at one minute, and then she was completely lifeless the next. And so the good thing was the cardiologist was completely like cool as a cucumber, and he put his probe on her chest and he looked at the ECG and he said, this dog has left bundle branch block. She has what's called boxer cardiomyopathy. And we went, what? Mabel, you're not a boxer. You have no legs. You're a freaking bulldog. What is this? But so immediately we gave her, so what she was in a really deadly ventricular tachycardia. That's what she was experiencing. And so when that happens, it means that her heart is beating so fast and so quickly and so inefficiently. It's not getting blood to her organs properly. It's not getting blood to her brain properly. It's kind of like, imagine like a balloon that is filled with fluid, and you got to squeeze it to get all the fluid out to empty the balloon, right? If you squeeze that balloon super fast, 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 no fluid is going to enter it, right? You're not going to get any fluid out of the top. So that's what was happening with her heart. It couldn't fill properly and then contract efficiently to get blood and oxygen to the rest of her body. So she lost consciousness. Now, at this point, she does kind of start to wiggle around a little bit. We've given her some lidocaine, trying to convert her ventricular tachycardia. We were somewhat successful. Heart rate went from like 330 down to like 210. Okay. So she starts to get a little bit more conscious. So we did end up extubating her. And then the treatment is a beta blocker called Sotalol. And so the cardiologist says, oh man, we got to give her Sotalol. I'm like, Sotalol, the oral medication? He's like, yeah. I'm like, this dog was dead, and now you want me to give it a horse pill of this beta blocker? And he's like, yep, that's what we're going to do. So that's what we freaking did. We opened up that meaty jaw, and we shoved a pill down there, and she swallowed it. Okay. And then we moved her into CCU. We ended up giving her, I believe she was on an amiodarone CRI, which is another antiarrhythmic, which is kind of a big guns drug to use. But she had big guns problem. Bitch was dead. So I actually have a picture that I use for my lectures on antiarrhythmic agents of Mabel. And it's because she was a success story. My God, the dog was essentially dead, and we brought her back to life by a quick diagnosis and using antiarrhythmics. And she remained on oral Sotalol for the rest of her life. You know, she died a peaceful death at home months and months and months later. And it was so sweet, you know, the doc brought her in and we all, it sounds kind of weird now talking about it, but in the moment it felt so right that when Mabel came in, after she had died, we left her in what we called the morgue, which was the area where we kept, the deceased pets before they went to the crematorium. And she was just in there and she looked like she was sleeping. She was so peaceful. And we all took turns and went and saw her. I mean, it was almost like a wake, but, and it's sometimes I think it's weird now that we did it that way, because I've never done that before and I haven't done it since, but it just, we were all there that day when we saved her life, and it just felt right to be able to say goodbye. Oh, that got me a little bit. Well, I tell you what, I want to talk a little bit about what it was that she was experiencing, because it's very unusual. So she had this heart condition that she had. It's congenital. And what happens is the regular tissue of her heart, of her ventricles, because it's arrhythmogenic right ventricular cardiomyopathy, of that area of her heart, the tissue changes. And it changes over time. And what happens is it gets replaced with, instead of the normal, healthy cardiac tissue that has this unique capability of conducting signal, electrical signal, in order to be able to beat, that tissue changes and becomes more fibrotic and dense. And so what happens is the electricity that normally would travel these very conducive pathways around the heart gets disrupted. And it's disrupted because the conductivity has changed. And so what starts to happen is that electricity starts bouncing all around. It doesn't go where it's supposed to go. And just like you would think, like, you know, when you stick your fork in an electrical socket, it short circuits, essentially. And that electricity then no longer travels a predictable pathway, and you can go into what's called deadly ventricular tachycardia, or even ventricular fibrillation, where the heart is beating too quickly and too inefficiently to then deliver oxygen-rich blood to the vital organs of the body, and it damages your ability to perfuse your tissues properly. This can happen. Now, the Boxer cardiomyopathy, it's an unfortunate nomenclature, because boxers tend to be the ones who get this the most. And the other time that I had treated this condition was in a boxer puppy. It was very, very sad. Now, this puppy, you know, it was a young dog, like maybe like 3 or 4 months old. And it had exercise intolerance, like it would kind of run around and then have to sit down and pant for a while. And they thought that was very strange, because a young bouncy puppy, why would it be doing that? And then we listened to its chest and it was like, you know, little bumblebee. And it was like, ooh, very, very bad. Now, what's interesting about that particular circumstance is that the dog was so young. It was probably compensating for that condition its entire young life, you know, it wouldn't have been able to compensate for long. But unlike Mabel was not young. You know, I think when she died the first time, I think she was, oh God, I want to say she was like 8 or 9 years old. And so that's kind of a different circumstance, where, you know, hers was a bit of a more of a slow burn. And then she had a catastrophic event versus the puppy that I ended up treating with the same drug, sotalol, amiodarone, lidocaine. That puppy had likely been compensating in its young life for that condition, and so was kind of walking around in this really, really intense ventricular tachycardia with a heart rate of 300 and was able to live. So it's a bit of a difference between the way that Mabel presented with that condition and the way that this young puppy presented with that same condition. And really what you see is it really affects this part of your anatomy called your left bundle branch, which is a branch in your heart that conducts signal. It tends to be, that's the one that you see the disturbance in when you have this particular heart condition, and that's in people too. It's the same, can be the same thing. And that's what the cardiologist saw when he put his ECG on, was able to read that and was like, oh, this is diagnostic for this particular heart condition. Now, why did Mabel the bulldog have boxer cardiomyopathy? Well, Not as purebred as we thought, apparently. But you know, I mean, both of those breeds are squishy-faced dogs. There's probably some kind of genetic component. She just happened to be the lucky winner of that particular congenital abnormality with the one little drop of boxer blood that was in her purebred bulldogness. So, in conclusion, what I find so fascinating about looking back on this particular set of events that circulated around Mabel was that the job that I do now is very centered. It's human medicine adjacent, and there's a lot of cardiology work. And right now, there's some studies that are going on that are about left bundle branch abnormalities. And there was some pretty intensive rescues that were built into protocols. And I mean, rescues like, you know, certain drugs and like certain adjustments to the way that we would treat the animals with this type of study parameter. And, you know, my team, I wanted them to think about where they may have had an inkling of what this condition could be. So we talked about boxer cardiomyopathy, and we talked about Mabel, and we talked about how critical the left bundle branch is to cardiac function and why it's so important that we're really on our toes with this type of anesthesia, because it can be really deadly when abnormalities happen. And this is why it's being studied. This is why it crosses over. So it's part of why I really enjoy the work that I do now, is because it's such a amalgam of all the experiences that I had doing emergency and critical care. And then also the progression of human medicine through my windows into that knowledge and how things are being built now to save lives. I could think of no better band to end this episode with than the Diggable Planets, because I just went and saw them at the Fillmore and it was so freaking dope. Me and a bunch of other like graying haired mid to late 40 year olds just bopping along up past their bedtime to this dope ass hip hop group. So enjoy a little bit of Diggable Planets. Enjoy the rest of your long President's Day weekend, if that is indeed what you're doing. Fun fact, George Washington used to breed hunting dogs and named them things like Sweet Lips and Drunkard. So thank you, First President of the United States, George Washington, for your purebred hunting dogs, Sweet Lips and Drunkard. Thank you so much for listening, as always. Happy 50th episode, Cat Disgusted. I'm so glad to have you all along for this wild and woolly ride. Till next time, y'all. Check it out. In the year of 89, I stole back my black mind. Found peace, now from the east I shine. One time blind, I refined, and over time I realized the dreamy spy gets the climb. Find the spot in this land of Uncle Sam. Focus my thoughts and be that true black man that I am. I stand in the face of oppression with my sisters and my brothers. No slipping, no half stepping. The prophecy nation is my representation. I wear Timberland, studying Timbuktu. Won't rest until they free, but the moment I boot. Now can you feel it? Nothing can save you, but this is the season of our self-savior. Like Shake Wavera, the Shummer and the River.